If you want to get your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 174. I'm Chris, and with me today is...
I am Matt.
I am Thomas, his son. Not Matt's son, Chris's son.
Yeah, thanks for the...
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. So, I've entitled this episode Reducto, mainly because cryptocurrency, which is a subject near and dear to my heart, I just don't get this. So, NVIDIA is going to be releasing new versions of its RTX 30 series GPUs that feature what's called the LHR, or light hash rate, branding. And basically, they've hardware hobbled these cards so that they will not produce as many Ethereum hashes, which is kind of funny because they're targeting a single cryptocurrency, although it does hurt two cryptocurrencies, but so that they will free up cards so that consumers can buy them. The shortage on GPUs right now is largely not due to cryptocurrency miners, because what does NVIDIA care if gamers buy their video cards or somebody else buys their video cards? They sold the video card, they made their money. You know, it's called capitalism.
This is merely just 100% a attempt to... I'm blanking on the right terminology right now, but it's an attempt to... Crap, what is the terminology I'm trying to say? Was it? They act like they care, but they don't really care. It's trying to woo over the customer that thinks that...
Correct. They're trying to appeal to two separate customer bases. Because the other thing they've done, which... And you can't get a hold of them because there's a chip shortage and you can't get them, is they've supposedly made a line of GPUs specifically for crypto mining. But they've never hit the market. Nobody has them on sale. Because if they did, I would have bought one already. But no. So, to keep the crypto miners from buying the RTX cards that they want to sell to gamers, they are going to hobble the cards in some way. Now, they say it's a hardware break. They've already tried this. At first, they put a beta driver out that
was flawed.
That was flawed.
People immediately exploited that to mine cryptocurrency with it.
Correct. So,
and I doubt that anyone is moving to their new driver in order to do anything else with the card.
Well, there's that, and then there's now they're doing a hardware hack. So what does that tell me? So they're limiting the power of these GPUs in some way that doesn't affect gaming. I find that very hard to believe. It does affect gaming. It just, they're making their driver tell people who have the games that it doesn't affect gaming. But,
well, and as usual, that's more marketing than truth.
Correct. Well, I mean, unfortunately, NVIDIA seems to be becoming more of a marketing company than a technology company anymore.
You could argue that for Intel. I mean, look at their recent campaign against Apple, which is completely full of garbage.
Intel is a company who is coasting on their own glory. And now that people are moving away from Intel...
They're sweating bullets.
Yeah. Well, and NVIDIA is one of the biggest competitors to Intel at the moment. You know, Intel's never... You know, Intel's supposed to be... We talked about this a few weeks ago. Releasing their own dedicated GPUs that are not built onto a chip. Although, again, have not seen any of those in the wild or the opportunity to be able to buy one. Because that, again, those would solve... part of the gaming issue, you know, because all the reports and articles I've read and some people have had beta units, but you know, they were expecting the same gaming performance that you would get out of a modern AMD card or a modern NVIDIA card. But NVIDIA is moving into the data center. They're heavily invested in AI, heavily invested in machine learning. They're heavily invested in They're releasing their own servers using their own flavor of ARM chip to compete against Intel Xeon servers. So the one place where Intel could really hurt NVIDIA is by getting into their market and selling to people, you know, an open system. But hence, we're not going to do that. Now, oddly enough, I was able to score a RTX 20 series card recently, brand new one. I didn't have to buy somebody's used one or worry about getting a fake one. But hopefully they'll stop this nonsense. So also in NVIDIA news, they're trying to acquire ARM, which is a British company. And it's probably, ARM is probably the quintessential British company because it came from Acorn Computer. ARM actually is an acronym for Acorn Risk Machine. And a lot of people don't realize that the ARM processors and the variations, you know, like Apple has a perpetual license where they bought a company back a long time ago that had an ARM license, but made custom ARM chips based upon that. And Qualcomm does the same thing. They have an ARM license, and the Snapdragon is theirs. And NVIDIA has an ARM license today, and they make their own ARM chips. But they're trying to acquire ARM.
And thankfully, British UK regulators are actually stepping in and being like, yeah, hold on a second.
Yeah, well, their concern is that, NVIDIA CEO says, well, yeah, NVIDIA might own ARM, but we're going to keep it as a separate company, and we'll treat the relationship between ARM and NVIDIA as a, just like any other ARM licensee we would have. UK regulators don't quite believe that. I don't know that I buy that myself.
I don't believe it. I hate NVIDIA
so
as a company.
I don't know that NVIDIA will buy ARM, but there's an interesting article from ZDNet, and if NVIDIA buys ARM, that could drive some other people to go to some of the other architectures outside of x86, because again, x86 is struggling, has higher TDP than anybody else.
Personally, I would trust Apple to buy ARM. And Apple's already an ARM licensee that has so far made the best chips with it.
Yeah, I don't know that I would want Apple to buy ARM. I think ARM in and of itself is... It would be like somebody buying Intel.
The problem with these technology conglomerates is all that really does is... ruin competition.
It does.
And
well, I guess I did overlook that, yeah.
If there is an industry that needs to be competitive, it's technology.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Well, and that's why I think ARM should be left alone. I don't know that they need an influx of money. They're getting enough money from their licensees. They do chip design, but it's like reference chip designs, just like Intel does reference boards and things like that. And then the ARM licensees are allowed to modify them and do things. And in reality, the A-series processors that Apple uses in the iPads and the iPhones and the M-series processors that they use...
It's pretty much Apple's own derivative at this point.
Well, it's an ARM architecture and almost name only. That's why Apple doesn't refer to it as ARM. It's not like if you write code on Android, it'll run on an A12, Same thing with the Qualcomm chips made by Snapdragon. Now, Qualcomm, they've been criticized quite a bit about taking the ARM reference architecture and changing it only slightly. But my understanding is that now that, there is a world where Intel isn't the only chip and they can get out of just being cell phone chips and things like that.
They're starting to actually compete.
Well, they're starting to build real processors because they have Microsoft's contract for the Surface Pro X, which is where Microsoft wants their Surface products to go, and I totally understand why, because ARM chips, even just the standard ARM chips, have a lower TDP, which means longer battery life. They don't emit as much heat because, again, heat in physics, heat is a waste product of of conversion of electricity into
something else. Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is that Apple pretty much screwed up while I was trying to sit there. Apple was pretty much given the rest of the CPU industry in the ARM space a kick in the pants. Didn't Apple, like, wasn't Apple's Apple Silicon announcement the thing that ultimately, like, made Qualcomm give a crappy response that then made their stock go down at one point?
Yes, it did. And well, I mean, and I...
And so Qualcomm is now wanting to compete with Apple. Everybody in the ARM space is now wanting to compete with Apple for the computer space.
Well, I think what happened, it was twofold. So, Apple being Apple, they came out and they made some bold claims about the M1 chips, and then they backed it up. Which proved that there was an alternate architecture to Intel from a pure performance perspective. And then it had all these other benefits. And then Qualcomm, you know, they kind of had a little bit of sour grapes because, again, another major ARM producer, and they couldn't do it, you know. And so they made some bad comments, but then they doubled down and said, look, we're going to start really making some chips. But a lot of that, I think, was driven from pressure from Microsoft to say, hey, look, you know, we can't have Apple so far out in the head that, you know, our products look like this. Otherwise, we might as well stay with Intel or AMD in the case, because right now it's the stopgap, and this is good for AMD and it's bad for AMD at the same time. The stopgap right now is that, and Microsoft is showing it, but HP and Microsoft have jumped onto the AMD Ryzen bandwagon wholeheartedly. You can get every Surface product made in 2021 with a Ryzen or an Intel chip, because the AMD chips are so much better than the Intel ones. And then, you know, the fact that Intel rolled out the 10th generation or 11th generation, whatever it is, I don't care anymore, of Intel core processors that fundamentally weren't any performance improvement or energy saving or anything across the board. So what drives you to buy that product? And, you know, and I don't really understand why Intel even bothered to release it, because they're saying that the next generation after that is supposed to be so much better. Well, if there was no change, why didn't you just continue to sell the one you already had? It'd have been cheaper, it'd have been better to produce them, because you already have a process to produce those chips.
Not to mention you could lower the price and actually compete.
Exactly. You have the opportunity to lower the price so that now the even though you might not be able to compete on pure performance, you can compete on that cost per gigahertz or cost per watt or because there are a lot of companies in the world, in technology particularly, who over the years, I'll give you a technology and I'll give you a company. NetApp is the company. They made storage systems. They were good enough. And so they proliferated everywhere, because what was the advantage at the time when they came out? Cost. Now, and then technology. VHS and even Blu-ray, from a technology perspective, both those technologies were not the best technologies that they had, that were out there. Pardon me, my phone is ringing, but we'll just let that go. But those weren't the best technologies that existed at the time. Beta had so much better sound than VHS, but Beta cost more, you know? HD DVD had all kinds of advantages, like the fact that the discs could be played as a standard DVD or they could be played as a high-definition DVD, so you wouldn't need a different player to play them, you know? But that's kind of a moot point today in the world of streaming, where even though we still have DVDs and Blu-rays and things, you don't see them, you know, in the marketplace any longer. Same thing with VHS. DVD was so much better than VHS, we don't see them anymore. But
by the way, interesting footnote, my dad, you didn't personally know him, but you met him a few times, the current CEO of Intel, who's a jackass from VMware and before that.
Yeah, he was at EMC, Pat Gelsinger. Yeah,
he's a moron.
I wouldn't say he's a moron, but he's a marketer. He's not a technology guy. He worked in sales his entire life. You know, your understanding of the technology is tiny, but your ability to sell it, I mean, he's a good marketer. And, I mean, there are few people who, in my opinion, are real technologists who are also marketers in the world. I know Steve Jobs was one. I know Elon Musk is one. But, you know, you look at other people around them, like a good example is Steve Wozniak. Steve Wozniak is a brilliant man, understands technology like you would not believe it. Couldn't market his way out of a wet paper bag, okay? And Steve, if you're listening to our podcast, which I kind of doubt, but if you are, it's not meant to be derogatory. It's just, it is what it is.
No hard feelings.
But, you know, again, like I said, there are very few technologists who really can market, you know, can sell the vision. And there are a lot of people who sell the vision, but they don't understand the technology, so that there's this gap. What you've sold and what it actually does, and that's far more common than almost anything else in the world.
Well, that goes beyond technology.
Oh, it goes in everything.
That's pervasive amongst most industries, I would say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it reminds me of a lot of people did not like Jack Welch, the former CEO of General Electric. But he knew business and he knew marketing. And that was, in some respects, because GE is a technological company. I mean, they make aircraft engines. They do all kinds of things. They make your appliances. And they've been around for a long time. But he, at least from, and this is the other thing that a lot of people don't understand, and this is where I think Intel is having a problem, is right now Intel is number one in the chip making market. And Jack Welch always said, you know, when he ran GE, if we're not number one or number two in a product category, we're going to sell it, we're going to close it down, whatever. And he did that to make GE profitable. Because, you know, what does it matter if you make toasters, but your toaster is the 10th most popular toaster in the United States? How many are you actually selling? You know, do we need to run an assembly line for that? And I think that's one of the things Intel needs to do, because they've diversified so much that they might be, right now, might be number one in, they're number one in sales, but that could easily change with Apple, Qualcomm, AMD, because, you know, everybody's gunning to be number one. And I don't think Pat Gelsinger understands that. Because he's come from a line of companies who have been very successful. But were they successful because of him? No. They were successful
because they were already successful.
Because they were already successful and he joined them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and part of the reason he left VMware is that VMware is struggling staying in their number one position, because they saturated the market without a plan to go, well, what do we do next after we saturate the market?
Well, that's a marketer's dream, is to saturate the market with a product.
Yeah, but you want to...
They're great, very rarely...
But what happens when you saturate the market and you have nothing left to sell?
That's when you quit, go to another company, and sell a new product.
Yeah. So let's move to my other company who has saturated the market and needs to quit and sell a new product. Microsoft. So Microsoft's Windows 10X, which was supposed to be their answer to Chrome OS, but Windows-based, is a dead product now. They've officially
announced.
Well,
features of it are being implemented into Windows 10. Yay! Here's a tip, Microsoft. Stop making Windows. Just kill off Windows, all of it, even Enterprise, and just start doing Windows as your own brand of Linux at this point. There's so many compatibility layers by the open source community. You even have the source code to your own Windows code anyway. You could literally just start implementing it, you know, onto Linux so easily. And by the way, you have Microsoft Teams on Linux. And you have Office on Android, but you don't have Office on Linux. What is wrong with
you?
You
have Office on
Mac OS
X, which is a Unix.
Yeah.
Would not be hard.
What is wrong with
you
people on Microsoft to say, oh, let's not support Linux with Office. And, you know, let's also screw over people who are, you know, paying legitimately to use Office 360, but let's screw them over if they're using Wine, the most popular Windows compatibility layer, which, by the way, Valve is derived for Proton on Steam, you know, for Linux. What is with you people on Microsoft? What are you doing so wrong that you have your hand, you have your heads in the sand like an ostrich? What are you doing?
I've long said that Microsoft needs to do what Apple did when they switched from classic Mac OS to Mac OS
10. Rebuilding.
And that is...
Scrap all the legacy crap.
Well,
if you want to make compatibility layers,
do it. At some point,
you
have to do that because the majority of... I mean, I won't say Apple is perfect. And Steve Federici, during the Epic, his testimony during the Epic case goes, you know...
Don't you mean Craig Federici?
Or Craig Federici.
Federici.
Sorry. Ed said this week that, you know, the amount of malware that has been created for Mac OS X is unacceptable. And Apple has been working at great odds getting rid of that. Now, that being said, 130 variants of malware have shown up in about the last 12 months on Mac OS X, and Apple has been working with not only internally but with third-party companies to, you know, either remediate bugs, remove the malware. Some of it, you know, is, and the article I read, they said viruses. They're not viruses. Most of it's Trojanware. So people give permission for this application to install, and then all of a sudden it puts things in that they didn't think was there. And that's largely the type of malware that exists in iOS and Android at this time. In the last year, Microsoft has had 119,000 malware. And a lot of that is because their code base has become way too big to manage. But they've never gotten rid of a lot of things that make them vulnerable. The registry in Windows, which is a flat file database, which is the bane of all users, which still exists from Windows 3 or Windows 1.0 had the registry in it, and it exists in Windows, the current version of Windows 10. It is a flat file database. It holds all the references to the drivers, your users, their names, their passwords, what applications are installed, where those applications exist, and what happens and what makes your computer slow as you load it in memory, even if you remove programs. That flat file database, there's no way to collapse it back to make it smaller, so it takes up memory or RAM in your system. And that's part of the reason on my Windows systems, I'm very particular about what software I use. Most of it's only Microsoft software. And even the third-party utilities I have, it's very spare. It's the stuff I need. I try not to load anything I don't need. And on my Windows machines, I'll run a virtual machine and with another instance of Windows, and if I need to install something and uninstall it, install it. That way I can blow that virtual machine away and take a clone and bring it back just so I can avoid my Microsoft systems having registry errors. But that's what gets... taken advantage of with most Windows malware. If they eliminated the registry, they would eliminate probably 75% of their zero-day vulnerabilities.
To be fair, Apple still has the better track record compared to Microsoft. And that's partly because of the fact of even still to this day, Apple has... He's already talked about it, especially because of the fact that it was already brought up in the Epic Mega Games versus Apple trial. But Apple is over the years, this is not just now, over the years, you know, Apple has been at the forefront of better security for a proprietary Unix. And I say proprietary Unix because of the fact of, I know there's Linux out there, and that's an open source project, it's a Unix-like system. Pretty much the term Unix is baseless at this point. It doesn't mean anything. But Apple is the only one left that was at one point certified, at least to a 2001 standard, to be a Unix.
Yeah, I believe there's still a certified Linux or a certified Unix. But that being said, it would not be hard to take with, because the concern about Windows and Microsoft and their issue is that they've always said we want to be as compatible as possible, backward compatible. But they've lost so much backwards compatibility today. I mean, there are things that ran on Windows 7 and Windows Vista that don't run on Windows 10 anymore because they made some major changes to the operating system. So that's, and I'm talking real software, not like, oh, this game won't run anymore or this or that. It, you know, it was stuff that people used to get stuff done. You know, video editing software, audio editing software.
Exactly.
You know.
And then companies like Adobe and Autodesk take advantage of that in order to resell you, in order to now sell you a subscription in order to use that, in which you're constantly the guinea pig and you're the beta tester for every new release.
Correct.
And that's the thing, you know, that makes me angry about those two companies. We've gone a little bit off topic there. But essentially, the point that I'm trying to make is, look, even in the early days of Mac OS X, it still had a better track record compared to Windows. When they made that transition, you know why? It's because the lead engineer, the head of software at Apple, Avi Tabanian, you know, actually cared about security, you know, and he implemented even the most basic things that Microsoft had to catch up with, like the OS asking you, do you want to give this permission to this piece of software? And it may not be to, like, you know, the implementation that we have now today in modern macOS, but he was the one who got the ball rolling and actually did this stuff in the first place. He was the one who did everything correctly on that end. So
yeah,
Mac has been,
I mean,
more secure than Windows for the longest time.
Well, and it is today. I mean, even Linux, well, Linux is by far more secure than Windows, but going back to what I was saying is that...
Well, it's also free.
Why
can't compete with free.
Why don't they make... Because they can take... Again, like you said, Linux is free. Why can't they make Windows a window manager in Linux and...
Start supporting tools like Wine?
Correct.
Or start actually writing that as their own proprietary thing in-house from existing Windows code?
They already do a virtualized... So, Apple,
they already
when
do
they
the
release
subsystem for Windows.
Well, there's not only that, but Apple, when they released the new M1 Max, which is a totally different architecture, could run every Intel application that existed. So if you had Adobe Photoshop for Intel Max, and they hadn't updated it yet for the M1 Max, it was there. You could still use it, and then now most companies are doing universal binaries so that you can run the same piece of software on an Intel-based Mac or Microsoft does that for the Windows Surface Pro X on their ARM's version of Windows.
But they don't do it for anything else.
But it only runs 32-bit applications.
I forgot that. I forgot that detail.
So that's a big complaint, since the only 32-bit implementation of Windows is the lower-end one for those systems that cannot be upgraded past 4 gigabytes of RAM. So most people are not selling 32-bit apps. And that's been the biggest complaint about the Surface Pro X, which is a beautiful machine and it has really good performance. I can run Office on it.
That's
not even all of Microsoft's apps will run on it. I mean, so, well, I think we'll end it there. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you think we're... I really would like to have some feedback from a Windows diehard to say, Microsoft, there's nothing they do wrong.
I'm the last guy. that uttered those words, and Windows 10 wrecked it.
Mm-hmm. So, but we want to hear from you, so give us some feedback at gizmosapiens@gmail.com, and we'll see you on the digital flip side.
Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.